We welcome everybody into the National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live at Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. The Kipperios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee.
I'm getting roasted about the tie thing, boys.
About not untying your ties?
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's also one of those things that guys are way too proud of, and I don't want to come off as that guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's no, okay, but, like, yeah, I mean, you should do it.
It's just a discipline. That's all. You lack discipline.
That's for sure.
Miyagi's all right. Yeah. Something's lacking for the Vancouver Canucks to the point where President Executive Jimmy Rutherford went on record about the situation. Sammy, have you got those clips?
It was from a Globe and Mail article.
Do you have the quotes exactly? Because he doesn't necessarily mention Pettersson or Miller by name, but he does all but identify them.
There's a lot in this, but I mean, I think one of the big grab quotes out of the article that was by Gary Mason out of Vancouver, I believe, was that we're talking about two of our top players. When you're planning on this team peaking into a contending team, and then you find out that's not going to happen, or at least it's not going to happen with the group we have, then you have to put together a new plan.
Yeah. We've had those conversations. I think the parties understand that. I think they've tried, as you know, something, whatever. It's not going to work. Someone has to go. Like the G or the president confirming it's not, there's no solution where they just stay there and work it out.
This is like January 28th here. Mm-hmm. Hey, Derek, do we have that that clip of JT Miller? And this was, I believe, just before Christmas, December 22nd, Derek tells me. Let's have a listen to JT Miller talking about the circumstances.
You guys, in a sense, the outer world have created this thing. Like, this isn't a thing. So, am I bothered? No, but you guys are just wasting your time.
How are you feeling about hearing of it?
I don't care. You guys want to talk about it? You want to ask me? Ask me all you want. I can bring up PD and we can do the interview together if that would make you guys happy.
It's not a thing, right?
Well,
what did Jimmy Rutherford say today?
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. I don't care.
It's a thing. He stamped it.
Yeah.
He stamped it today.
Yeah. I totally get the point being made is that the president confirmed a thing that we weren't being told once upon a time. I also don't blame JT Miller for saying what he said when he said it.
I'm okay with you. I'm just not okay with those comments December 23rd, and then Jimmy's today, and then going,
what happened?
What happened between those comments and Jimmy Rutherford's article today?
Mm-hmm. So, I hate this guy.
Like, envision now that you're Jimmy Rutherford, and you've known that there's a scenario going on, and you just watched one of your top players go on camera and talk to the media and the fans and lie.
But he should lie.
No, he should not lie. That's when you turn around and you use the two most famous words in media history.
I plead the fifth.
No comment.
Oh.
No comment would have been better than what JT Miller did December 23rd.
Drops a nuke, bud. No comment. Might as well be, I hate his guts.
The, like, information vacuum then is there for idiots to
interpretation.
Fill. Miller being like,
It's better than lying.
You know,
it's better than living a lie.
Gotta live a lie sometimes. this cruel world.
You know what? I'm telling you. Yes. I when you live a lie is when you can kind of brush it under the carpet.
I think they had hopes that they could fix it. I think Miller thought they could.
Before anything could get out.
I think they thought they could.
I don't know. Let's ask that Shaw, host of Canucks Central, game host for Sportsnet. Always does a great job coming on the show. We really appreciate it. I'm sorry it's always under these circumstances lately.
He's never come on and tell us about the 10-game winning streak.
You know, we just played JT Miller's comments at Christmas talking about basically come on, it's not a thing. And yeah. And now we wake up and we see Jimmy Rutherford's comments and he's saying it's a thing. And how do the fans react today?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of dismay from the fan base that this is coming out again. And, you know, it's not a 10-game winning streak, but it's a 2-game winning streak. And for us, this is the first time in 2 months the Canucks have actually won 2 consecutive games. So there were some good vibes coming off the game. But we don't call Vancouver Hollywood North for no reason. It's not just the movies. It's all the soap opera and drama around this team as well. And Kipper, I mean, you guys have talked about it. We've talked about it. It's been, you know, even acknowledged to some degree by Quinn Hughes and Rick Tocchet a couple months back when they met with the media, and they acknowledged that, yeah, Pettersson and JT may not be friends, but that's not something that, you know, it gets in the way of winning. They've had those situations in the past, but you're right. JT denied it. Pettersson said it's all being made up. And Jim Rutherford came out today and admitted that it is a thing. Now, we all knew this was a thing. The question just comes down to timing. And you know, I get what you were saying there, Born, because I don't disagree. Like, I'm all for honesty. But my only thing with this situation today is I just don't understand the upside on this, right? And in a season where the Canucks haven't avoided any of the rakes in their yard, it's pretty much been like sideshow Bob stepping on every single rake he can. This just seems like another situation where the team is trying to maybe create some level of win a couple games in a row, let's move past these discussions. And now Jim Rutherford's come out and thrown a big bomb into all of this. And he's being honest, and I know he's always honest in these situations. Again, I just fail to see what the upside is for him to say the things he said today.
You know, it just feels like for a while there, you know, at least on our show, we were saying, why haven't we heard from Rutherford? Like, why no comment? You know, you can't hide forever from this sort of thing. And so for him to come out and say, yeah, you know, you guys got us, you know, something's got to happen. It kind of feels like the only way for, you know, to get through this and handle it. So what is the forecast here for this Canucks team and what happens? Because you're in the midst of a playoff race and everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. It still feels to me like a salvageable season. Do I have that read wrong?
I'm with you. Like, I saw it coming off the game last night. I mean, and again, it's only 2 consecutive wins, but this team hasn't even strung together 2 decent performances. It was a strong road win. It looked a lot like how the Canucks played last year, right? Get off to a lead, add to their lead, suffocate a team in the third period. The result was never really in question. They got saves. They scored on the power play. 5-on-5, they were good. Defensively, they were good. JT played well. Pettersson played well. If you were trying to talk yourself into some landmarks that can lead to you turning it around, only 1 point back of Calgary now after the victory 2, and they have a game in hand, but you're right there in the playoff race. And we know how wide open the league is this year, right? I mean, look at even the top teams. They're really good, but all teams have flaws. And not to say the Canucks would make the playoffs and make a run, but it's one of those years where if you make the playoffs, you have talent, you can talk yourself into it being interesting. The question just comes down to, has the drama got to a point where they can't overcome this? Now, the last 2 games look good. I just wonder what this does to the situation. And I'm all for honesty for us, man. Like, listen, this is manna from heaven, right? We can talk about Jim Rutherford laying it all bare to Gary Mason with the Globe and Mail, and that tells you about where things are at. I just don't know if this is just going to add another log to the fire. And it's very clear based on what Jim said, they don't have solutions in the trade market. And he acknowledged that if they're trading Pettersson or JT, they may not even get a second line center back. They might get a, you know, a center, but he may not even be a top 2 line center. So we have to get the assets back in return and go and find other players. And that's nice and fine and good. How easy is it, though, to have assets and go and get those players? Every single team is looking for a top line center, you know? So I just don't see where the solutions are. And if you're at a point now where if you're willing to take, say, 75 cents on the dollar on Pettersson or 50 cents on a dollar for JT Miller, how does that impact your chances this year? I think you can pretty much burn this year if you're trading one of those 2 guys and taking back a lesser return. And then it comes down to how many years is it going to take for you to reload to give Quinn Hughes a chance to want to be here beyond the next 2 years? So I just don't see a way out via trade. That's an easy solution. I think the best solution has always been these guys figuring it out, winning enough games, and we forget about these distractions. But it's kind of hard to forget about distractions when they keep popping up, even when you won a couple of games.
You're watching and listening to Seth Shaw, host of Canucks Central, game host for Sportsnet. So I imagine there might be a little disappointment watching supposedly one of the teams that may have been talking to Jimmy Rutherford and Patrick Alvey in Carolina with their blockbuster trade for Rantanen. Is that one now team lost? And is there still a focus on the New York Rangers, or is it to the point now where, you know, we don't want to take 60 cents or 75 cents on the dollar, like you said, and We're just going to have to learn to all play along nicely in the sandbox here.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, the only thing I could think of as a rationale for what he said is the point you just made. They realize they can't make the trades, and this is kind of last ditch. We're going to lay it all bare, guns a-blazing. Everyone knows what's going on. Here's honesty. It's on these two guys. They're the ones sinking our season, and perhaps that jolts them into action, and they finally overcome all this strife and act like the professionals are supposed to be, considering they're combining for nearly $20 million in cap hits for both these players. But at the same time, I'm with you as far as the Carolina Hurricanes, because I don't really see them being a fit here. Who knows where Tulski, I guess you can never, you know, put it past them if you can make some sort of creative deal with one of the two players. But it seems like the reason the Carolina Hurricanes talks took off is because there was urgency on the Carolina Hurricanes part. And clearly now, based on the fact we know they got Rantanen, they got wind of getting Rantanen. They started accelerating trade talks with the other teams and players that they were interested in and ultimately chose to go with Rantanen. So Carolina had urgency. The Rangers had urgency. They've now won a few games. They're looking a lot better. And based on the reporting from Elliot Friedman, he believes that, you know, for JT and the Rangers, Hedl, a draft pick and a prospect, was certainly something that the Canucks were perhaps willing to do. But really what got in the way, according to some other insiders, including Frank Ciravalli, was the Rangers asked for retention. And as long as Rangers want a retention on JT, I just don't know how that's going to work out. And if they want retention, is that a GM thing? Is that a club ownership thing? How much are you looking at the money JT's making long term? So to me, that's an obstacle that has to be overcome first before you get back to the table, because I don't think the Canucks have any interest in retaining for the next 6 years on JT. So my question becomes, where is a team right now that has urgency to get ahead of the trade deadline to give the Canucks an earnest offer? Because so far, based on everything we've heard, the Canucks are getting lowballed, as they should. I mean, they have no leverage. The players are struggling. These guys have big contracts, and teams are trying to get them for 50, 60 cents on the dollar. We get to the deadline in a few weeks. Do people put their best cards on the table? Does somebody come out and say, you know what, we want one of these players. We're going to make an earnest offer. And right now, I just don't see a team that has the urgency to step out of its comfort zone and try to make an offer to the Canucks that they can actually consider. We'll see where things go with Minnesota, because they got Kaprizov injured and what they're looking to do. But this might be a situation where it's not going to end until the trade deadline. And I'm just unsure that unless some situation pops up, that anybody's really going to make the Canucks an earnest offer to acquire one of their top two forwards in JT Miller and Pettersson ahead of the deadline.
Do you see a world where it's not JT Miller? Like, it just feels like all the conversation is like, oh, we're just waiting for Miller to get traded.
Absolutely. I mean, it could definitely be Pettersson. I think based on everything that we've heard at this point, they're considering it and seriously discussing it. It's just such a complicated trade to pull off, right? Like, the Natchez one, even Natchez, as talented as he is, his peak hasn't been Pettersson's peak. Now, Pettersson right now is nowhere near his peak, but you can talk yourself into Natchez perhaps being a top-line center, a right-handed center, right? And at least being an elite forward. I don't see another elite forward available that somebody's offering for Pettersson. Like even the Sabres, and you know, I know Elliot threw out his proposal of Dylan Cousins and Bowen Byram for Pettersson. I don't know if that moves the needle, right? Like they're interesting players, but maybe a second line center, maybe a second pair of defensemen. And we all know if you want to win in the National Hockey League, you need elite players. The Canucks have one, and Quinn Hughes is playing well. So you have to flip those guys for something elite. And Pettersson perhaps is your better pathway than JT. But again, like right now, I just don't see teams really putting the urgency to make that offer. I do wonder if we get to a point where they make something, they do something that we don't expect. Like, do they move a Demko out of nowhere all of a sudden? We know Besser and his situation. If they don't sign him, he gets moved out. And if you don't move Pettersson and you don't move JT, do we see them take another slice out of the core with two other big players by the deadline?
Hmm. Sat in our first hour in our Leaf Hour edition, we played the hypothetical game.
We'll play it again.
Yeah, well, let's play it again, okay? Morgan Rielly goes back home, lifts his no move for a package that includes JT Miller coming to Toronto. Any chance in your world that could work out for Vancouver, that they'd be interested in a top four defenseman for JT Miller, or do you see a different balance in a deal?
So I do think that would be somewhat intriguing, a legitimate right-hand defenseman, right? And a good leader, a guy that I can think can come into the locker room, I think, and provide perhaps.
Lefty.
No, Morgan's left. Morgan's left.
Right. Oh, sorry. Left. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Left defenseman, but very talented defenseman. They still need to have some of those guys. I can see that being of some level of interest, but the fact they weren't interested in making the Zibanejad swap for JT one for one. Makes me wonder if they're still looking at somebody perhaps a little bit younger and that fits in with the long-term vision of the team. And we all know having a centerman is something that they'd certainly want to add to the team as well. They have nobody coming in the wings, right? At least on the back end. Tom Glander was 11th overall pick a couple of years ago, playing really well in the NCAA. They have high hopes for him coming up. Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, has played the last couple of games. They have a lot of faith in him long-term. So I think they would prefer to move JT for a center to build around, or somebody that can help them acquire a center. Do they get to a point where they feel like they have to make the best deal possible? And if Morgan Riley's one of those players, I can see it at least being a consideration for the organization.
Yeah, it's a fascinating one. We were kicking that around too. Are you good on those two fellas? You ready to move?
Yeah, no. I got one more on you. And that is, I had so many. Now they're all kind of just in terms of if JT Miller is the guy that they ultimately move, and then they keep Pettersson, does anybody envision what that world would be like for Pettersson staying in as the guy that won out of this thing, and maybe the pressure that it would put on him or the city to deliver? And I mean, is it still a good scenario for Pettersson to survive there and move forward, or is it so critical on him now moving forward that it might not be the best scenario actually winning this thing out?
Right. Well, I think, I don't know if things are going to get any more heated on Pettersson, because right now he's taking the most heat on our post-game shows. I mean, every other text is about Pettersson. Every other call is about Pettersson. Social media is, just burning the player down left, right, and center. And for good reason, right? I mean, he has 59 points in his last 84 games played, including playoffs. It's been rough. Yeah, and this is a player who's making a lot of money, right? It's not a lot of production. And he's been good defensively, but you don't pay a guy 11.6 to be a 50, 60-point guy, right? You're talking about you need at least a point per game and you need to add a lot more. I do believe that if you can't get the value in Pettersson, and it's clear, at least based on what Rutherford said, it seems it's untenable between Pettersson and JT Miller long-term, then if you move JT out, does it give you a chance to see if the situation changes, if you do get the best out of Pettersson again? And even the reason of trading him, let's say you trade JT and he finishes the season on a hot streak, the team makes the playoffs, he plays decently, at least you're in a better leverage position with Pettersson, aren't you, in the offseason, where he's shown he can regain that play, he can show he can play in a different environment. So as far as managing your assets, and if you're dead set on trading one of them, then it probably makes sense to move JT and see if you can find a way to get more out of Pettersson, even for the simple fact of upping his trade value.
Yeah,
I know I said we would move on, but it's really tough. And I'm going to ask the stupidest question that I feel like we're not allowed to talk about for some reason, but what happened? Does anyone know? We're all he works hard and that guy doesn't, so he's mad at him. And I made that up. I don't know. What happened?
Well, I mean, I don't think any of us, because the thing is, nobody's come out and said exactly what the proverbial smoking gun is, right? I mean, you hear different things and innuendo. Nobody confirms it. So I don't want to go down the rumors you hear about specific incidents that happened or didn't happen. But I think it's really clear that Pettersson's been pushed by certain players on the team, I would imagine JT, to do more, that they know he can do more. And I know coming into this season, and when you read between the lines with everything that Rick Tockett spoke about for Pettersson coming back to training camp, was we need him to skate more. We need him to just practice a bit harder. He needs to get his conditioning up a little bit. He didn't show up to training camp in bad shape. He obviously, they all passed their physicals and all that, but I don't think he was anywhere near the top of the fitness charts as they had a lot of other players. And JT was at the very top of it, and he got a lot of praise from the Canucks head coach. And I think the organization was kind of hoping that Pettersson would have gone to the offseason and really worked on his game even more. Now, he had tendonitis on his knee. He mentioned how that did curtail his training session. So how much of that is he's managing an injury? How much of it is putting the extra work in? So I do think he's been challenged. And I think part of the challenge has been you need to do more, whether it's on the ice, off the ice. We need more out of you. But how you get that message across, I think, is the most important thing. And we all know Pettersson is a different personality than JT Miller. And especially in today's athletes and especially the younger generation, the way you get a message across is really different than how you would get the message across, back even in my day. I mean, I'm just 40 now, but even back in my day, it was, you got yelled at a lot and smacked around a lot if you weren't following orders. And that was kind of what you had to do, right? That's not the way you approach things. And I thought it was really interesting listening to Brad Richardson, who was a former teammate. He was on the Missing Curfew podcast a while back, and he kind of mentioned that when he was a teammate of JT's and Pettersson's, he didn't disagree that, you know, what JT was saying to Pettersson was wrong in order to get him to, you know, find that other level, but his approach to it was not the right one. And it's hard for you to get through to somebody if your approach isn't the correct one. And I think ultimately that's what it's come down to. Here's a player who's challenging another player, but the way he's gone about it isn't getting respect from the other player. And when you don't have mutual respect, that message doesn't come across. And I just wonder, based on everything Rutherford said today too, that as much as they try to move past it, does it just flare up all the time and put them back in square one?
Sad, is this soap opera burying the lead that Quinn Hughes is having one of the best seasons in Vancouver Canuck history?
I mean, it's honestly a disgrace that this season this team misses the playoffs with Quinn Hughes playing the way he has.
Right.
It's an absolute disgrace in a way. So you're talking about the single best season any Canuck has ever had, potentially. He's even better than he was last season. Here's a franchise cornerstone, league-changing player. We're talking about one of the five most impactful players in the National Hockey League this season. You might miss the playoffs because two guys can't get along. It's an absolute joke. It really is. I mean, we're talking about, you know, guys who get paid a ton. We're talking about all-stars. We're talking about adults, guys who have been given everything in the world to succeed, and you can't get along. You can't be inspired by the guy who's putting the team on his back, who's playing with one hand, who's fighting through everything humanly possible. It's an absolute disgrace that this year goes to waste, and Quinn Hughes hasn't created enough motivation for the group to get its act together.
So, like, is there desperation to, like, move on and start trying to, like, turn the page? Because, again, season seems salvageable.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, right? And I want them to win. Guys, like, I want to see this team make the playoffs again. I mean, we've been with Sportsnet 650 since 2017, had one real playoff run. And the most successful year of our station was last year. So trust me, man, we want playoffs. We want to have the team have success. And coming off the game last night on the post-game show, you know, we're trying to move the conversation forward. Fans are starving for it. But the noise just keeps popping up. And like I said, like, this one is somewhat self-inflicted. Now, perhaps Rutherford wasn't anticipating they would win consecutive games because they haven't done so since December 1st. And perhaps, you know, he wasn't afraid of saying what he needed to say. Is this going to be something else that throws them back? But the opportunity is there. As good as Calgary's been, I really don't think they're good enough to keep their pace this entire season. You're going to make the playoffs if you get to 94, 95 points. And if you get your act together, you should be there.
And I assume that you ride Lankin in and, you know, you're going to do this right now without Demko, essentially.
I think for the most part, and, you know, they want to get Demko up to speed again, right? Because they need to have him finding his game. He's under contract next year. But every game's kind of must win right now. And Lankin has been by far the better netminder. And I have faith in Demko, you know, how hard he works, how talented he is. But his game is not where it needs to be right now. And you have to go with the guy who gives you the best chance to win. And without a doubt, that's Kevin Lankin.
Just in terms of Demko, no one's going back to saying he's still hurt or there's still issues physically with him. Is that been tucked away and it's just now finding his game?
That's what it seems like. There's been no suggestions that he had the back injury. We felt like he had a back spasms, but it was not related to knee, everything that we found out. The question ultimately comes down, guys, to he might be healthy to play, but does he have the same movement and confidence in his joint to play the way he played? And I know Steven Balaketkin has talked about how his stance is somewhat different now based on where it was last year. Biomechanically, after the injury and a pretty unprecedented injury of your goaltender, is he going to be able to find that same level athletically? I think that's the biggest question. I think he's healthy, but does he still have the same mobility and flexibility he had prior to the injury?
Last one for me, Sat, and thanks for your time today. Just on Brock Besser, and what do you expect to go down there? What sort of extension would he be looking at?
Well, I think Brock is very much looking at something along the lines of Travis Konechny, and why wouldn't he? You know, he's talking 8 years, $8 million plus. And if you look at the scoring rates for Besser, same draft year, Besser actually has slightly better scoring rates, 5-on-5, and also just overall, too. So from a statistical standpoint, he can certainly drive that price. There's no way the Canucks are signing him to that contract. If he wants to be in Vancouver, he's going to have to take significantly less. And the question with Vancouver is, do they truly want to keep this player? And if they're not going to get close to $7-8 million per year over 7-8 years, I think this has no chance of happening. And based on everything we've heard with this team right now and wanting to move forward with the group, are they truly willing to add another long-term contract to a player part of a core who they're clearly dissatisfied with?
Zach, great stuff on a story that just will not go away in Vancouver.
Sorry I had to do that.
we'll check in with you periodically as I don't know, maybe this continues for the next month or not.
God, but mercifully not.
We do have a trade deadline sneaking up on us, so one way or another, I think we'll figure this thing out. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, whatever the topic, always fun chatting with you guys. Thanks for your time.
Zach Shaw, host of Canuck Central, game host for Sportsnet.
Yeah, him and Riccio do a great job.
Boy.
It's just that, like, I wanted to ask about, like, they've won two in a row. Hughes is awesome, you know.
Well, he didn't hold back when I asked him about, like, this storyline, you know, taking away the spotlight off of Quinn Hughes' season.
That was a great answer. It is. It's a tragedy. He's one of the first D in a long time where it's like, that's a Hart Trophy season or Hart Trophy contender, particularly in a year where no one's clear cut at the top of the forwards. And it's just like, he's just playing through this, man. He's the captain through all this smoke.
Yeah.
He must be so pissed.
Yeah. So annoying. Not that he would want the attention maybe, but just to talk about hockey and the team would be nice.
He's pissed, but I'm sure there's a part of him too that just feels as the captain.
Yeah.
That, you know, what can I do?
I
can't fix this. And he's a guy that's, I'm sure, why wouldn't he be one of the most confident kind of players around? And yet you go in there and you feel helpless.
Well, how old's JT Miller? 31, 2, 3?
31.
Like, really tough to go to a guy like that and say, hey, stop it. You know, like, he's a grown man. He's able to make his own decisions.
If, in fact, you know, it's definitive that he, like, you just don't know where Quinn would lie on, like, okay, it's your fault.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault, or it's, like.
Right.
I mean, that's where it's kind of tricky, and, I mean, even if you could find out for sure, do you want to? It's like it's really none of my business. You guys just kind of like, you know, it's like your neighbors. There's less of yelling next door, and you're like, okay, like
kind of like you two before the show.
right.
Yeah, kind of. But you know what I'm saying? It's like to the point where I don't know. You're right. At some point, you got to go. If you're Quinn Hughes as the captain, going back to Alvin or Jimmy Rutherford or Tockett and said, I tried talking to him, I tried, we tried at the Grey Cup party, or we tried last week at dinner, and, you know.
Do you think the greatest captain in the world could have fixed this? Like, could Mark Messier have made this go away?
Maybe not the best guy to use in a particular situation.
Not a great example for there for well, fans.
Not the most popular man in Vancouver.
Messing with an L with them both in practice, though.
I can only speak from my experience as a New York Ranger and certainly not one in Vancouver. We can get into that in terms of that never stood a chance to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in saying that, I think Mark would have just beaten himself up until it got rectified. Mm-hmm. And there are times when Mark Messier has gone to management and said,
that guy can't be here anymore.
We can't win with that guy in that room anymore. And it's not an easy thing for him to say or any captain, but those are the things that you have to do as a captain, because mm-hmm. that's your room, that's your responsibility. You are the alpha dog, whatever you want to call it, but you are the guy that's supposed to be able to fix things in there.
Yeah, Hughes doesn't seem like that big of a presence in that sort of way. I think he's a little more
I can only imagine how much he's grown up through the experience.
And, no kidding.
Like, forced on him.
Who knows?
How do you not resent if it's Patterson? Like, not
I don't know how this. We don't know how this thing's going to play out, but I can guarantee you it's going to make Quinn Hughes
a better captain
for it. Because now you're starting to identify things. And before, where you could probably look at a situation and let it slide, you're going to be a lot more weary the second time around and say, hey, listen, you know what? Can't talk to that guy like that.
Yeah.
Or you can't do this. And that's not good for our team.
Here's where this could go. I've seen it.
Yes. And we don't want to lose that guy. We want to keep him on our side. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to f- feel like we've got each other's backs and that we're fighting for each other. You keep beating him down, and all you're going to do is get him to turn on us. And that's not how we win.
Yeah.
So tough situation for Quinn Hughes being a new captain and a guy that is supposed to be, you know, large and in charge in that room. And it's too big of a beast right now for him.
Yeah. Two wins in a row for the Canucks by points percentage. They're a breath out of the second wild card spot.
They're going to be all right. Just won't go away. Flame,
you know, they won't, but I mean, they're not shooting in the net very much. Like, Dustin Wolf's been incredible. Can he drag them all the way there? Maybe. But I bet on Vancouver.
He believes
there.
He does, and that's sometimes Wolf, a big part of the battle. Like, he's like, we're making it. That's what he's saying. We're gonna get in.
And everyone's like, we are let's do it.
Official guarantee.
Yeah.
There's no question that this guy believes in himself
Curious
and the team.
Curious to see if they sell it all at the deadline or what they do, if they just hang on.
No, I don't think they can. But really, like, what is there to sell?
Mm-hmm.
Anderson's not like a sellable asset that you've got to make a hard decision on this year. He's got another year on his deal. Kadri's locked in. Huberto's not going anywhere. So what is really left there?
Yeah, you're right. No, Kuzmenko, Mantha.
Nah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Game time. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Three Canadian teams in action tonight. Two of them against each other. The Montreal Canadiens are hosting the Winnipeg Jets. The Montreal Canadiens, pretty big underdogs on home ice, as you would imagine. Plus 145 on the money line, minus 170 for the Jets.
Can I get Jets minus 1.5?
You can't have that. It is plus 150, Jets minus 1.5.
There's your number.
Okay. With Team Canada goalie in net tonight, maybe Sam Montembeau, I'm not sure. Maybe Jacob Dobish. Either way, I don't mind that bet from you there, Borny. And the aforementioned Calgary Flames hosting the Washington Capitals tonight as the great chase continues. Tough crowd here. It's plus 125 for the Calgary Flames, minus 150 for the Washington Capitals on the money line, and a really good one later on in Las Vegas. The Vegas Golden Knights playing host to the Dallas Stars. Vegas Golden Knights are minus 125 on the money line. I'm sure Alex Pietrangelo will play 26 minutes tonight
with his ailments. Yeah, he's great, I've heard.
His ailments are just brutal. Dallas Stars plus 105 on the money line, so there's a bit of an underdog and a bit of value, in my opinion. And the biggest underdog of the night is the Chicago Blackhawks in Tampa taking on the Lightning. They're plus 325. Tampa minus 425 on the money line. Oh, that is a wild number. So there you go.
Do you think if you called Kipper and I and were like, I can't come to work today, I have ailments, would have follow-up questions?
Mean, I did have some ailments after a trip to Detroit. Anyways, that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk ailments and we'll talk about the Minnesota Wild losing their top scorer for a month. Oh. We'll talk about the latest NHL team to put a for sale sign up.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. Up when we return.
All right.
To Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. All right, a little cleanup around the National Hockey League. Minnesota Wild star Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov will need surgery on a lower body injury, which will keep him out for at least a month. Now, the Wild are holding well in the Central Division, third, but never a good thing losing your top scorer.
No, hanging on. And also, Kirill's due a big contract, right? Like, everyone thinks that he's now eligible to sign, if I'm not mistaken. Right? We've passed Jan 1. He's got one more year. I think he could sign now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think he is.
I wonder if...
check on our little cap friendly or wages or whatever you call it.
What would you like me to check?
Kirill, does he have actually a one more year before he goes UFA? Yeah, for sure, because if he was UFA, we'd know about it.
Yeah.
He'd be...
So curious, because they did say they would spend basically any dollar amount asked of them, so...
He didn't get the Rantanen treatment, that's for sure.
No kidding. He's got next year at $9 million, but I think that would make him eligible now.
Yeah.
Might be a good time for Kirill, because they're going to be shutting down in, less than 2 weeks for... The Four Nations.
Yeah, like he's not going to miss a ton of hockey.
Right.
Sounds like something he'll be able to return with lots of season left, so that's good for them.
So if Kirill was playing in the Four Nations.
You love the Four Seasons.
I really want to book a room at the Four Seasons. That's what it is.
Day.
Yeah. If he was playing in the Four Nations, would surgery be a good excuse to miss the tournament?
Oh, I think we would probably green light that. No judgment here if he needs surgery.
Okay, where's your judgment anywhere else?
Can I ask you? I buried Petrangelo yesterday. You guys were a little nicer than I was. But have you heard anything about, reaction to this? Like, it's...
Yeah, it's not sitting well with some other hockey clubs, I think, because...
So, sorry, Vegas.
Vegas.
It's not just Petrangelo. Teams Earth.
Well, listen, I think it's... I think for sure it's a... collective decision between Alex and the hockey club too. And I think a lot of teams feel a lot more pressure than Vegas does to make their stars available for this, because every single one of them can use that same ailment excuse.
Yeah, love our veteran to get some rest.
But want to get ready for a big push to the Stanley Cup. And it's like, well, no kidding. So does everybody else.
Like, the Leafs would love for Austin Matthews to rest for 2 weeks.
You're not, Quinn Hughes, come on, keep going.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody would love to get ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And
you see Jarvis's comments today?
No.
They asked him, what position are you going to play? Who are you going to play with? And he's like, I'll play F and right D if they ask me to.
Did he drop an F bomb?
He sure did. I don't love it. I don't care. You put me anywhere, I'll play it. And that's, Canadians are like, love him. Seth Jarvis fan. Petro's
out. I don't care.
You mentioned rival teams. The one that I think about the most in this situation is the Edmonton Oilers, who, if you want to make it to the Stanley Cup final, are probably going to have to go through the Las Vegas Golden Knights at some point, or the Vegas Golden
Knights. And you're going to need 50 points from Connor in the postseason or whatever he had left.
And so the Oilers are so we have to send our best guy. Who's going to be the face of the whole thing. He's going to have to do a million interviews. He's going to have to play. He's going to be the most important.
In Kip's words, there's just going to be cameras everywhere.
He's going to be the most important guy.
She hates.
And we have to send him. But Petrangelo has an ailment, and he's the top defenseman for our bitter rival, but he doesn't have to go. I'd be so pissed if I was the Oilers.
Was it
you,
JB, that said the other day that he'll get replaced by Evan Bouchard, and then Bouchard will get hurt?
Oh, my God.
Now... I said, worst case scenario.
What a nightmare it is. That's a nightmare.
You know, the other thing, too, is this is, even baffles me, is why do you announce it, now? If you're going to announce it, do it
right at the
two
deadline.
Weeks from now.
Hold the shoot a little later.
Way later.
Hey, we're getting close, and I'm still not right. I just can't go.
It's a way easier
it's
sell.
It's crazy to be a month from now, I'm not ready.
Now? Yeah. Why now?
And I'm playing 22 minutes a night.
Right?
It's weird.
So,
what is he playing?
To me, the timing's as baffling as maybe more than the decision.
Oh, my God. Petrangelo's last three games, which were three games and four nights in this past week, 25 minutes, 23 minutes, 24 minutes.
Boy, I'd kill for that ailment.
That's a good ailment, boy.
Pretty important guy.
Anyway, I resent it a little bit.
Yep.
Well,
that's where we can all land on that.
You're probably not the only one.
I'm going to make a case tonight on the television that Chris Tanev should get a spot.
No.
Yes, I am.
Cabo. Okay,
the Leafs. Don't want that.
Cabo.
I'm not the Leafs.
Right?
I just, you look at the potential replacements and...
But if he wants to go, you can't tell him no when you're sending Mitch Marner there.
No,
or, and that
exactly.
goes with any other...
Mitch plays 23 a night and kills
situation.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know who they, but I know they had him fairly high up on the list of guys that they liked when they were making the decisions the first go around.
But there'll be enough guys, I think, to push hard. Like, there's no hiding Seth Jarvis's excitement.
No,
right?
He's thrilled.
I hope the guys put on a good show. That's all.
Oh, I'm pumped. I'm pumped about it.
Pumped. I'm really, really. I mean, listen, God love Sweden. God love Finland. But Saturday night, Bell Center. You know, just maybe even go to an establishment, boys. Watch that game against the States. That's as good as it gets. Like, that's,
I'm thrilled.
I'm thrilled. Really excited.
Yeah. And I think led by Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying how thrilled he is to play with Sid.
They'll put on a good show. It will be led. It will be
Sid.
Led by McDavid.
MacKinnon.
Yep.
Ooh,
yep.
Brother.
So what was, you said something about Pittsburgh.
Well, Fenway Group, they're going to put part of their hockey club up for sale, and maybe even more if there's an attractive number. It seems like everything's gone, not haywire, but it's been well established by many NHL owners that Tampa Bay Lightning were evaluated at roughly $2 billion, and there's some cash to be getting out of that team.
It's like flipping a home. Right? They like, what, they buy the team 3 years ago?
Yeah.
They just bought it, but valuations have been going so high so fast that I'm sure they see an opportunity to maybe retain some stake in it while making back the money they already put in.
Allow me to take the low-hanging fruit.
Please.
They saw 2 years of Dubas running the team like, we're out.
No. Well, they may look at the future there and go, ooh, we don't have a generational superstar here. This could get bleak.
Is it even worth mentioning the ripple effect of Rantanen has led some to believe or talk about Sidney Crosby
being
moved?
Well, on Friday night, in the whole hootenanny that was going on with all those guys getting traded.
The nanny was hooting.
There was some rumblings, and I believe it was Kevin Weeks who sent out the tweet with the picture of the Pittsburgh skyline.
With eyeballs.
In the middle of everybody being super horned up about all these trades and they're making space. Turns out it was part of a sale. Good timing by Kevin. Everybody got a lot of eyeballs on that. But, you know, them freeing up space and the Sid, you know, Nate connection and the crappy Penguins losing to the Sharks.
It's got
to
be.
You can't help but draw some lines here.
I had said that I thought what will happen is the Penguins will refuse to roll over. They'll win enough to get in that little mix. They'll even buy at the deadline, and they'll miss by a point or two. They'll be competitive. Hold on.
And you're way off that.
Way off. Last three games they played, I would say the teams that I consider three of the four worst in the league, Ducks, Kraken, Sharks, and they lost 5-1, 4-1, and 2-1. Almost beat the Sharks. So, like, it's over.
They are now just ahead of the Buffalo Sabres in the Eastern Conference. And that
are
is
dead
the
last
team.
In the East.
They're seven ahead of the Sabres who are last.
So there is a chance they will be one of the few teams with lottery balls to draft a generational talent. I don't know if Schaefer is that or Hoggins or whatever, but they could be bad enough if they want to admit they're bad.
So whether or not they're selling a portion of this team or perhaps more, like, this could be one of the worst times
to sell
for Pittsburgh.
I mean, I don't know about that. Like, do you need to be winning for them to see what the value is?
What assets are you buying? You're buying Crosby at the end of his career. You're buying Malkin and Letang at like $7 million, and they're at the end of their careers. They've got no prospects.
Yeah.
They've got a building that's half empty now. Like, I'm thinking discount.
Oh, is this your guy?
No,
I'm just your guy getting in now.
No. I'm just saying, though, like, what would a new owner have to look forward to at the end of Sidney Crosby's?
There's 32 franchises. They come available once every few years to get a little piece of one. You're in the league.
I get all of that, but there's also assets that come with a purchase.
No, you're not buying it at its peak.
But it's not coming with a nice shiny toy.
No, it's certainly not. I don't know many franchises that sell when you're about to get the Stanley Cup.
I would also say that they are two seasons away from being the least attractive team to buy in the league in terms of...
Two away.
Like, I mean, they still have...
Look at where they're in the standings
now. I know,
now.
But, like, you still have Sidney Crosby on the team. You still have Evgeny Malkin on the... You still have the idea of some superstars on your team, but their contracts are up soon. Once they're gone, it's scorched earth bad for a long time.
You know, they have a ton of picks. And they have a chance to bottom out and grab a good player. Like, if they admit they're bad now, it would be awesome for them. It's the best thing they could do is look in the mirror and go, God, we suck.
They cannot.
They stink.
Trade.
Kip, they stink.
They cannot trade Sidney Crosby.
Unless Sid wants to get traded, you can't. But you trade Malkin.
The decision
you trade Carlson.
The decision was made in the summer. Okay, if you were going to move him,
here.
You would have moved. If they move him now, everybody should be fired on the spot for not being able to figure it out in the summer and embarrassing him in January.
Yeah, this is not fun for Sid. Not fun at all.
Plus, he's, you know, going to probably move into ownership the moment he retires.
Maybe Sid will buy a piece.
Right?
So imagine player owner.
He's like, I wish I didn't take a 50% discount every year I played.
So just like do the Tom Brady thing where he's just immediately in ownership and runs the whole show.
I think it's there if he wants it.
Owns 1% of the team?
I got to tell you, he wants it. Like, this doesn't seem like the type of guy that's just going to disappear, does it?
But wouldn't, like...
I would.
He could be a Joe Sakic there.
Yeah.
No one's listening to Pittsburgh,
ownership.
Are they?
Hey.
Does he really want to tie himself to living in Pittsburgh the rest of his life?
I haven't been in Pittsburgh in a long time. Enjoyed my time there.
But there's
it's a nice city.
There's ownership in play. Right?
Offered by ownership? Or how would that work? Do you think there's some in his current contract?
No, you're not allowed to do that according to the CBA.
But you can...
Yes, you can have a piece of dust in your eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Think about it.
Maybe when you're done...
First of all, this guy spent his whole career never the highest paid guy in the league.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
He's like, hey, I'm going to play for 8-7. I'm worth 16. So let's maybe work something out after to reimburse me that. How about that?
It just, you know, there's obvious biases with watching a Dubas team fail and me being happy about it. They're minus 40 goal differential, second worst team in the Eastern Conference. But I love Sid. Sid's my favorite hockey player of all time. My favorite maybe athlete of all time. And now we have to watch him wallow away on the worst team in the league. Like, this sucks. We were excited because they were going to be in a playoff conversation and they were going to be fighting. And now this sucks.
No, listen.
It sucks.
It's not a new conversation.
I know.
We've had this conversation.
But we were excited because they were decent.
Signed.
We were excited because they were decent.
Therefore, Sid had this conversation.
I know, Kip.
And he chose to stay.
Totally get it.
And that's on Sid, too.
100%. No denying that. It just sucks for the millions and millions of Sid fans in this country who aren't going to get to see him play relevant hockey for the rest of his career.
And he's still really good.
He's unbelievable.
Really, really good.
Like, he's just not going to play another... If he stays with Pittsburgh, he will never play another relevant NHL game again.
The legacy of being a one-jersey player, is it worth not competing for a cup?
When you're still really good.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's really tough because you don't want anyone to be to blame. You don't want to tarnish your legacy, which you're going to live on for all the years after that.
Like I said,
he's had a pretty good career.
Does he want to just do
all these scenarios were answered when he resigned this summer. Yep. And the answer was yes. I'm okay.
Ever believes when they're elite players that they're going to be bad. I don't think Sid thought they were going to be just ahead of the Sabres for 15th in the conference. He didn't see this coming.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch him play with McDavid.
He might be just full of energy.
He might be very good because he is very good. All right.
Well, wait. 2 weeks from now, Sid Crosby, Connor McDavid, teammates. Can't wait. Our thanks to Brad May in our Leaf Hour edition of our show and Sat Shaw from Canucks Central in our National Hour. Enjoy your game tonight. We're back here tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. It's The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.